to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Verse number 1, be reading through verse number 10. Luke 15, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And they say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Oh God, as we're reminded tonight of the joy that's in heaven over sinners repenting, Lord, we're reminded of your desire to see souls saved. Oh Lord, work in my heart. Lord, encourage me to be a soul winner. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I preach tonight, I want you to understand that it's not necessarily for you. Tonight's message is more to encourage me going into the season ahead. Thursday is Thanksgiving. Friday is what the retailers call Black Friday. If you've ever shopped on Friday or been an employee in a retail store on Friday, it's more like Black and Blue Friday, but I understand that it's the Friday of the year where all the retail stores try and get out of the red and into the black through their sales. But then we head into the Christmas season, and the attitudes seem to deteriorate the closer we get to the joy of Jesus' birth. The message tonight for titles would be Reaching the Lost, to remind us as members and of Good News Baptist Church that we have a responsibility in our own attitudes, in our own lives, to reach the lost. So we see in verse number 1, and we see Jesus, and as he's going about his work, the work that his Father called him to, in verse number 1, they drew near to him, all the publicans and sinners, to hear him. You don't have to be a independent Baptist for very long before somebody will tell you, as they ask, well, where do you go to church? And you say, well, I go to this church. Oh, you're one of them Baptists. And I have never quite understood how to respond to that. But why is, as we are going about our Father's business, why is it often that people have a poor opinion of Christians and the folks who ought to be different Point number one in reaching the lost is we must have compassion. And we see Jesus had compassion throughout his ministry. Several different times it talked about his compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." As a police officer, we often got called to scenes, and you see stuff, and there's basically three different types of people at this scene of, for instance, a car crash. And if you hang around police officers for very long and you get them to talking about their love for firefighters, not a whole lot. But there's difference in the folks that show up, and as we're you show up to a scene and you'll see people standing around. If you're driving down the road anywhere in the country, it appears, because we saw it so often in the past couple weeks when Darlene and I've been traveling, that you'll see a lot of people that are there. They are uninvolved in the accident. They are not. Their vehicle wasn't involved in it. They personally didn't witness it, but they're just standing around to see what they can see. Mostly, they're getting in the way. If they're driving down the road and the crash is on the other side of the road, going the other direction, off on the shoulder, and there's nothing to see, they'll slow down enough to back traffic up long behind them. But they're the uninvolved. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46, we see some uninvolved folks, and we know this story. And they said, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee." We have those uninvolved, that there are people out there, they are needy. They require something that the Christian has knowledge of. And there are so many uninvolved in the church today. Not necessarily in our church. I don't think I'm pointing fingers. I'm saying corporately in the church, there are so many uninvolved that are sitting around. They're here to see what is going on, to participate maybe if something exciting happens. But they're basically uninvolved. And when they hear the cries around them, "Shh, quiet, you're disturbing my sleep." And I feel so sorry for him, because as a pastor, I'm concerned that folks get the proper amount of sleep. And so when they doze off in the middle of service, we try not to bother too much. But, there's no compassion there. Well, then you also have the police officer who shows up to the crash scene, and he's there, and what is he doing? He's looking around to see who caused this crash. He's assessing fault. He's trying to find out who did wrong here so that he can write a citation, do his report, and get on his way. John chapter number 9, verse number 2 says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, Who did this sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Oh, the disciples were concerned about this young man that was born blind. And Lord, did he sin? Because, boy, he must have been a wicked sinner to be born blind. Or his parents, they must have done something horrible for this young man to be born blind. The Pharisees are the same way in chapter number 15 of Luke, verse number 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Oh, can you believe he's doing that? That he is hanging around these people who are, well, they're just not as nice as us. If they dressed as nice as us, if they smelled as nice as us, if they were just as great as us, then they would not be in the position that they're in. And if you ask a police officer on a crash, or so many folks call them an accident, and if you ask a police officer that knows anything about it, they tell you it's not an accident. Somebody was doing something they shouldn't have been doing, it's a crash. An accident is something that is unavoidable. And so many times we see the Christians that are involved in the life of the lost, not to do anything but to point their finger at them and go, "Boy, look at them." And they're like, they're just pointing out, "Oh man, I am so glad I'm not like that guy. I'm sure that the problems that he's going through are because of the sin that he has." And we see so many judging the sins of others based on their own. Heard the story of a man that was upset at the preacher because the preacher wouldn't let him be a deacon. Because he smoked. And he said, "Oh man, and just because my sin is visible, these other people have sins too. I should be allowed to do whatever I want and still be a deacon." And oh, when we as Christians start assigning a point system to sin, and we're under this number, so we're safe. And all those poor people, no wonder they're suffering. When we have the third person at the crash scene, the paramedics, the ambulance crew, and they're there to help. One of the reasons why police officers and firemen don't seem to get along: when a police officer shows up, you're having a bad day, and the police officer, it's kind of like government. "I'm with the government, I'm here to help you out of more stuff." Police officer's there, "You're having a bad day and I'm helping, I'm going to help make it worse." Somebody's going to jail, somebody's getting a citation, whatever the case may be. And that's not our intentions, that's just the nature of our job. But a paramedic shows up and everybody's so happy to see them. The fire department shows up, everybody's so happy to see them because they're here to put out the fire and make everything good and put a band-aid on their alley, and the police officer's going to set it up. But oh, if we are like Christ and we're following after Christ and we have compassion like Christ does, when we see the lost, we reach out to help the hurting. Back in Luke chapter number 10, verses 30 through 37, another familiar story. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighborly unto him that fell among the thieves? Out of those three, which one was the follower of Christ? Which one was reaching out to the lost? And as we go into Thanksgiving is coming, and that's generally a happy time. We get to eat the lot and everything, and then the crunch time starts to roll in on us. If you have not purchased your Christmas gifts yet, you're running out of time. I'm never out of time for buying my Christmas gifts. If I miss this Christmas, I'm looking for next year anyway. But do we have compassion going into the season? Or are we concerned about our own stuff that we're ignoring those hurting folks around us? Well, the second thing with reaching the lost, it does require some effort. Nothing is free. Everything costs money or time. But that we would not underestimate the time it takes to touch somebody's life. The first thing we must do in our effort is to pray for those. Oh, I don't know them. And I'll have to ask Darlene again what the young man's name is. We've been going to the same store, and I hunt him down every time. He works in the front, and I hunt him down every time I go to see if he's there and visit with him and ask him how his day is going, and I know a couple things about him, so I bring those up, but I pray for him on a regular basis because I don't know that he's saved. Mm-hmm. Given him tract, I've invited him to church, he hasn't come yet. But one of these days he will. Mm-hmm. One of these days I'm going to catch him at the right time, at the right place, and God's going to have been working on his heart because I've been praying for his salvation, and I'll be able to open up the scriptures and lead that young man to the Lord. But if I don't pray first, it's very hard for me. That's why this message isn't for you. This is encouragement for me as the season starts. Ask Darlene. The closer it gets to Christmas, the more I relate to Scrooge. We're wasting electricity even now. Nobody's home in our apartment, but we got the heater running. But as we go out and things don't go exactly the way they ought to go for us, or at least the way we believe, are we prayed up enough to where when we run into somebody, we'll see the lost and hurting? Not the shopping cart that's in our way between what we want and where we are. Second thing we must do is, in our effort, is we must seek them out. It's not just a matter to pray for them. And I pray for this one young man, and it's a good thing the Lord knows what his name is every time, but it's also required that we seek them out. I pray for folks that I haven't met yet because I don't know who the Lord is going to put in front of us today or tomorrow or the next day. But even as we see two different stories in chapter number 15 about the shepherd who has lost one of his 100 sheep, and the young